I would get myself around more high-level people sooner than I did today. I didn't do that because my ego got in my way, and I thought I knew everything. I thought my ways was the right way, and I would remove my blinders. I would talk to more high-level people and ask them who I should be talking to, because...
Welcome to the No Broke Months for Real Estate Agents podcast. Working as a real estate agent can be incredibly rewarding and fulfilling, but it can also be frustrating if you aren't making the money you deserve. So if you're ready to end the stressful cycle of working hard for no results, then get started with a proven step-by-step system so that every month is no broke months.
Brock Zevon is a business coach, motivational speaker, real estate team leader, and a dad of two active children. Brock went to real estate school and later opened his brokerage. In 2019, he found a way to offer more for my family and my team and then headed to eXp Realty. His real estate career has allowed him to use the coaching skills he learned while teaching. In this interview, Brock will talk about the top five questions you have to ask when you're prospecting.
My name is Dan Roshan, and I'm the host of the No Broke Months podcast, which is a show for real estate agents that's designed to help you have no broke months. Thanks for joining me. Enjoy the show. Welcome to Consistent Predictable Income Community, Badass CPI Agents. My name is Dan Roshan. Today, I'm joined with Brock Zevon, and we're going to talk about what to do to thrive in the season and the tactics and the techniques and the things that you really have to know about, not just the season of where we are in the fourth quarter coming into the first quarter of 2022 to 23, but also, you know, the more macroeconomic cycle as well. And a little bit about Brock. He's a business coach, a motivational speaker, real estate team leader, and his biggest role, his most important role, daddy of two, active children. Brock, welcome. How are you?
Good, Dan. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you having me here today. Yeah, the active part of the kids, a four-year-old and a 10-year-old, definitely keep me going.
Are they boys or girls?
My youngest is a boy, Bryce, and then my daughter is 10, Brielle. The daughter, she's very a little bit more low-key, but Bryce, he is all boy.
You got to get him a cup of coffee or something. You like wind him up and go.
He is like a cell phone. Once it's charged, it goes.
That's cool, man. That's cool. Well, Brock, welcome. So thank you for joining me today. So the season of where we are right now, as a real estate, what should a real estate agent know about the season that we're in right now? And again, I'm talking more from a global type perspective. What should I know as a real estate agent?
Well, one of the things that we're coaching and teaching them right now is the season of, it's like, let's just take a look at the calendar. We got 2 weeks that typically are your slowest time period of the year, hypothetically, just because you got Christmas, there's shopping. You throw in New Year's, and then you have people, your third party, your inspectors are on vacation, attorneys are on vacation, everybody's shutting it down. And so one of the things that we're teaching people right now is across the country is work on your process, work on your in-house stuff, work on your systems inside. If somebody called you today for $1 million listing, would you be ready? And if you're not ready for that, like freshen up your testimonials, get yourself in a position that you could literally not stress yourself out, be like, oh my gosh, what would I do? Have your listing docs ready, have your testimonials, work on your listing packet, work on your buyer consultations if somebody says, hey, what's going on out here? So a lot of housekeeping is what we're teaching people and coaching people up to do when it's typically a down market, nobody's home, or I wouldn't say down market, it's slow time period. You don't have to like sit at home and not do anything. You could be working, investing in yourself, professional growth, and working on your housekeeping type of stuff. So that's some of the things, one of the main ingredients we're working on now, helping people get through like this, you know, slow down time.
I love it. Every year I've done the same thing from December 15th to December 31st is my, I call that my thinking time. I call that my time that I'll consider opportunities throughout the year. And I was having a conversation this morning at a networking event and somebody asked me, say, hey, are you slowing down? I'm like, no, I'm just doing different activity. Yep. Right. And so the activity that I'm doing is making sure, like what you said, now certainly I've got my listing presentation, et cetera, yet there's always things within the business to work on. And, you know, that's during these 2 weeks, you know, I'm still prospecting, I'm still looking for business. Right. But I understand that it may be less. And so I'm going to still do my prospecting daily. And then, you know, my time that ordinarily I'd be going out with appointments, I'll spend that, you know, preparing a system, something like that. So Brock, I love your advice. What do you see us coming into? You know, I know you were talking about, you know, some of the things that you're expecting for 2023. What do you see in the near future for us, just in general in the real estate market?
So a lot of time, well, right now, I use this word very carefully because people always ask me, Brock, are the home prices going down? Are they expected to drop? Are they falling? Like, what's going on? And I say, you got to use the word drop and you got to replace it with the word correct.
Yeah.
The home prices are going to correct themselves in 2023. Okay. You can't have inflation of growth for this period of time. Like, it, eventually, all good things come to an end. And we're a cyclical market, just like stocks and rates and everything else that you can do for the last 50, 100 years. It's just that's how it always has happened. I mean, we're not always in a recession. And so to me, when it's going out there and people are asking me, I said, the market's going to correct themselves. Okay. There's some other indicators that we're going to look at in the real estate market. We're going to look at unemployment. We're going to look at the inflation rate because the Fed's dictate that, because if they're saying that they got to get it to get to 2%, in order to get to 2%, they got to drop rates or increase rates. So there's a lot of things that we look at to be able to see, but when it really comes down to it, it doesn't matter on any of those factors because we can't control them. I don't know about you, Dan, but I'm pretty sure you can't call the feds and say, hey, can we keep the rates?
I'll call them. I'm not sure if they're going to take the call. I called them last week and they said they hung up.
Still haven't gotten back to you.
Yes, come on.
So we can only control what we can control, and what we can control are our skills and our knowledge. And so those are the two things going into 2023 that you really need to tie down. You need to tighten those things up. But where they're seeing the market, I mean, it's not forecasted to be a blissful, like, oh my gosh, we're getting, I mean, there's predicting 30 to 40% of real estate agents falling. Mortgage brokers are like, they're firing people. I mean, it is what it is, but what are you going to do about it? How can you better yourself in these markets? I don't think the world's going to fall apart. I think that we're going to be interviewed with two or three other agents. And if you're really good and you have knowledge and you have skills and you have value, you're going to get those listings and they will sell because there's still multiple offers happening out there. It's just not what we're used to.
And you say that 30 or 40%, let's say there's 30 or 40% less agents a year from now. Do you think that there's 30 or 40% less listings a year from now, or do you think maybe it's closer to 20%?
I 100% agree. We will not see that same mirroring image on the home prices. I mean, the home values and the home number of listings.
So it's actually a net positive
for
those agents who really take this seriously. And like what you said, the skill set, and the motivation and the knowledge. And then I would add mindset in there as well. It's just, what do you believe? What are you going to do? What do you know? And you know, what action are you going to take? And then those that take the action and have the belief are going to succeed. And you're actually going to have, in my opinion, you're going to have an opportunity because proportionately there's going to be more business for those that are left. You agree with that?
100%. Yeah. I mean, one of the podcasts I was listening to, which, I mean, it makes sense, but it was on a Tom Ferry thing I was listening to, and he was bringing in the owner, I forgot his name, of Keeping Current Matters.
Okay.
And they were saying that statistically, 92% of all sales last year were from real estate agents who only did 4 sales or less. So that means only 8% were really climbing it and making the business, which is different from the 80-20 rule that we already, like, we're so used to hearing. But I 100% agree with it. The more I thought about it, I was like, these 92% of people need to get out of here because right. they're taking our business. I mean, like, it was when I call FSBOs and expireds, I mean, that in itself was challenging. And any Peter, Paul, Tom, Michelle, or Claire could sell a house. Like, you didn't need skills. All you had to do was put it on MLS, barely even get to it. Social media would take care of half of it. And that's why in 2023, it's going to be tested. And the last 3 years, we've been in a COVID market, in a market that Bryce could sell a house. Right?
Right. I tell you, man, I'm going to give him a cup of coffee and and access to the MLS and we'll let him go to town.
Yeah. But I'm sure you've seen it in your industry, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, those things are, it's a national thing across the board. It's not any different. I mean, we still have certain homes that go under multiple offers still based off of price, condition, location. I mean, none of that stuff has changed.
Well, even like, I'm in the DC metro market.
Mm-hmm.
I'm advising, like right after this call, I'm talking to a seller. And I was looking at the data before I got on this conversation. And in his market, catch this, it's 35 days on the market today. Is the average days on the market. Now that's versus 6 days on the active market a year ago comparatively. But if you really think about that, 35 days, okay, like that is not a tough market.
Right.
Okay. And you used the word before, correcting. It's bringing it back to sort of normal where the 6 days, which really wasn't even 6 days a year ago, it was more like you listed on a Thursday. And you get multiple offers on the Sunday, and then on the Tuesday, you know, the sellers are like, all right, which one of the $50,000 more do we want to take?
Yep.
You know, so it's, you know, it's just a correction, like what you're saying. Totally agree with you on that.
Yeah, it's just, and people, I always say days on the market. When you increase the days on the market, two things happen, okay? When I tell this to sellers when I'm in there, two things are going to happen. I call it straight out, I say it right in my listing presentation. Mr. and Mrs. Seller, two things are going to happen when the days on the market increase, and I just want to tell you my plan, because it will happen because we're in a different market. One is a buyer is going to think what's wrong with your property and try to reduce the price because they see it's more than 7 days, because they have an opinion just as much as we have our own opinion over here. So they might say, what's wrong with the property? It's been on the market for 7 days. Oh my gosh, normally homes are selling like in 7 hours. Well, it's correcting itself, blah, blah, blah. But the other thing takes place, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, is every day that this house sits on the market, you said to me you're interviewing three other people, you might start to think you didn't make the right hire. And I don't want that to happen. So here's my price improvement plan. Here's my strategy. Here's what I do, because I don't want that to happen when you get to day 30, because to be honest with you, that's the norm now. But you're going to think you made a mistake. And I want to educate you now on what's going to take place, because if it does get to 30 days, and most agents just don't have a game plan. And they don't have a strategy on how they're presenting it to the seller. And so 2 weeks in, when they have no activity, all they're doing is like, well, I don't know. Or they hide. That's the other big thing. Most agents hide now. They don't want to talk to people.
So what I'm hearing you say, basically, Brock, is that you have a plan. You're demonstrating skills, right? And it's being proactive, because nobody can predict the future, right? But there are predictable problems of a transaction, for example. And when you can identify, well, what are the predictable problems with the transaction? Well, predictably today, it may take longer to sell a house than it did a year ago. Predictably, with a buyer, they're going to have, and this isn't even predictable, this is reality objectively, is that they have less buying power because of the interest rates, right? So there's all these things. So predictably, that buyer may have hesitation. They may be like, well, I'm going to wait for the market, for the interest rates to improve, whatever the case may be. So these are all the predictable things that you could address before they happen, so that if they do happen, you're already positioned that you had the conversation of your price adjustment plan to say, okay, a price improvement plan, I think is what you call it. Say, okay, well, hey, we have a plan. Here's the next step. We're accommodating the market expectations, and the market is sharing with us that here's the price that is going to cause it to sell. And I appreciate the opportunity to be able to get it sold for you.
Yep. And your steps of just explaining it are so important, because when you go in, I love to be proactive than reactive. Most people are such a reactive type of thing, reactive type of society across the board in everything that we typically do. But when you have your price improvement conversations, and if you did your plan that we talked about and you set the stage, I mean, how many times have you might have heard a real estate agent say to you, oh gosh, I got to tell them to drop their price. I don't, I'm dreading this. And he's going to eat me alive. This
I haven't heard that at all in 3 years, but go on.
Very true.
But I get the point.
Yeah. So they don't even know where to begin, because they even had to talk about a price improvement plan. So you're absolutely right. They're like, I don't even know. I guess I have to do a price improvement plan or a price drop. And they don't even say price improvement. They say, I got to do a price drop. And
I say price adjustment. You say price improvement. I like either way. Yeah.
But it makes more of a positive twist than saying we got to drop your price, right? Yeah. So we would agree with that. And so
I'm not going to say drop the price.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
And so that's a skill. That's a script that people don't understand. It's just a simple conversation. But here's the thing. When you get to it, and I tell them usually between 17 and 21 days, just get ready that this is what I'm going to be coming to share with you. And it all depends on your area, but that's typically for us where I'm at. I get 2 weekends under my belt and I can be able to figure out enough data to be able to make this to justify where I need to go with my improvement. But when you get that phone call and you do your status weekly calls and you have the conversation, 9 out of 10 times the seller is saying, all right, Brock, I know this call. We have already talked to my wife and told her that we're getting ready to drop the price because that's what they say. But they already know because you set the expectations going into it. It's kind of like when a doctor tells you we're going to do a follow-up. Hey, doc, just want to let you know we're going to do follow-up in 2 weeks. Okay, well, we know in 2 weeks where we are. Have you been doing your therapy? Have you been doing your stuff? They'll know, and you can't hide from that. It's the same thing in real estate. Is just like set it up, give them the plan, tell them what's going to happen, and your life's going to be a lot easier, and you're going to sell more homes in a timely manner than instead of being on the expired list.
If you're looking for No Broke Months, I invite you to join the 5-day challenge for free. Save your seat at 5daylistingchallenge.com. That's the number 5daylistingchallenge.com. You'll learn how to take listings in today's market without cold calling, door knocking, or begging. That's 5daylistingchallenge.com. We help real estate agents have no broke months.
So let's take a look at the, so as the market, you know, is, let's just say, you don't know, I don't know, but let's just say there's 20% less transactions in the next year and there's 30 or 40% less agents. For those agents that choose to thrive, that choose to be successful, what skills are they going to have differently today than previously?
So one of the things we're defining and looking at right now is when you say, what do they need to have? First is they have to have a measurable number inside of how many activities of income producing should they be doing on a daily basis. A lot of times people think like, oh, I called 3 people. That's not going to cut it anymore. Like you're going to have to talk to more people. My coach tells me all the time that money is not the problem. It's the number of people is your problem. You're not talking to enough people.
Yeah, there's no problem in real estate that 20 conversations about real estate a day will not solve.
Right. Right. Yeah. Absolutely. And I'm sure you have this in your programs and everything else when you talk to people, is they just don't know. They don't know what a successful day looks like, meaning that like, should I talk to 10 people, 20 people, 50 people, 100 people? Like, and if I'm do talking that, where do I get this list? What is this all about? So it's surrounding yourself. The first thing is you need to be surrounding yourself with high level people. You need to be invested into either coaching programs, whether you're watching YouTube videos, talking to people, getting in front of team leaders, having conversations with people to be like, what are you doing to be successful? Because I'm sure just like you, you have a coach. I'm sure just like you, whoever it is that you're aspiring or mentoring, you're like, what do you got going on? You're asking them questions. So a lot of times is just ask more questions to higher level people, figure out what they're doing. Activities is a key ingredient. So my coach has me doing 35 to 45 activities a day. And I define the activities, whether it's 10 FSBOs, 10 expires, 10 top 25. We call it a red zone. Like who is in my red zone that I need to be talking to? So the number of conversations for successful people will increase. Because we have to talk to more people because we have a lack of inventory. Not everybody's selling. We have uncertainty in the buyer's market. You stated it earlier. If buyers don't know what's going on with the rate, what do they tend to do? Not do anything.
Yeah.
Sit there. Because uncomfortableness and uncertainty leads to stagnant, leads to a frozen position. So how do we unfreeze them? Well, we unfreeze them by giving them knowledge. Talking about a 3-2-1 buy down, a 2-1 buy down. Here's some opportunities for us. So working that skill set of being able to have more conversations, but Jim Rohn says it best. People work harder on the job than on themselves. And I want to be able to understand more about what's going on in the market. That's why I still am in the real estate business. That's why I still do it. So when people, well, Brock, you don't understand. What do you mean? I don't understand. Let me just tell you what I did today. Let me tell, not to impress you, but to impress upon you that I get it. People yeah. aren't answering my phone. Like I don't have a special number. Oh, Brock, how many people, like, gosh, everybody answers your phone. Like, trust me, nobody answers my phone just as much as they don't answer Dan's or anybody else's.
When you're going through and talking about, like, you know, working on yourself and you're talking about the skill set in the context, it's either, if you're looking at like what's causing, what are the, you know, if you go back to that doctor analogy and say you're working with, you know, there's an agent that's listening to this right now and you're not receiving the results that you'd like to receive, it's going to be either you're not saying it often enough, you're not saying it to the right people, or you're not saying the right thing. Uh-huh. And so anything can boil down into that. So one agent, for example, can get results 10 contacts a day if they're saying the right thing to the right people, where another agent may not have the same skill set or the same opportunity, you know, and they're going to have more conversations. Uh-huh. But ultimately, it's going to be one of those three things that are going to be the tell into where is the opportunity. I was working with an agent yesterday, and this is an agent in Florida. Okay. I'm in Virginia. And he's saying, well, these leads suck. I said, okay, great. Give me your leads. And I called one. I set an appointment for him. I said, all right, what was your aha? He's like, oh, crap. It's right there in front of me. I'm like, dude. And for his case, it was an opportunity of what he was saying. Uh-huh. Right. And so we worked on that. We worked on the skill set, you know, just like what you're talking about. It's like, okay, well, instead of, for his example, he was calling him and he was selling his services to a buyer. The buyer doesn't want your services. The buyer wants a home. So hit them with that. Mm-hmm. Hey, I see that you're in the market to buy a home. Are you still buying? Versus, hey, can I be your real estate agent? Mm-hmm. Because they're not interested in that, right? So you have to be able to accommodate what it is that they want. Would you agree with, you know, what I'm sharing with you?
Oh, 100%. I mean, the value proposition just, it changes, because I always have a saying, I tell people that we do the phone calls and we do some Zoom calls, that we keep accountability. And I say this in a joking around way. I'm like, all right, guys, I'm going to give you 30 minutes before I start making my dials. Okay. Because we all have the same numbers. Sure. I mean, it's not like there's magical numbers I have, but they know that my skill set is different because it's done on purpose. Because have you role played? Have you practiced? Are you asking the right questions? It's not what can you do for me, it's what I could do for you. And that is the mindset that you have. How can I help you? What do you got going on? If I was able to get you this 2-1 buy down, keep your rate the same, get the seller to pay for it, and get your monthly payment exactly the same way that you wanted, would you be okay with that? Nobody gets upset with me. I mean, nobody's told me they can do that. Yeah, I'm talking to all the right people. I'm glad we're talking today. What do you got time to be able to have a buyer consultation with me? I got 3 o'clock or 6 o'clock. What does that look like? You want to do Zoom conference? We're all the decision makers. Like, we rattle it off our mouth.
Yeah.
Because we're skilled, and this is why we're coaches, but we try to like shake people. Like, listen, we're not any different. I'm pretty sure you don't have a special bed. I'm pretty sure you didn't put your clothes on a different way. The perception that a lot of agents think we carry a magic wand, a magic pen. No, we just want it really bad. We want you to want it, but we can't force you to study in script.
Yeah. And it's all about energy, right? It's all about energy. And it's about who are you going to choose to be? What's the energy that you're going to choose to be able to tune into? You're talking about Jim Rohn, et cetera.
I recently wrote the book, Real Estate Evolution, the 10-step guide to CPI, consistent and predictable income for real estate agents. I wrote this book because I have sold real estate since 2007 and developed an immense amount of experience and knowledge. During my journey, I've witnessed hundreds and maybe even thousands of real estate agents fail in this business. And I firmly believe that that's a shame. In Real Estate Evolution, I will show you the exact steps that I have used as a real estate salesperson to sell 1 to 15 homes every single month for the past 129 consecutive months. It took me more than 2 decades to learn the sales and persuasion techniques, and more than 1 decade to master the real estate sales techniques to be able to produce the content that makes up this book. And it took me more than a year to write at a pace of 3 hours every single day. If you're a real estate agent and you're looking for consistent and predictable income in your business, I invite you to get the book, Real Estate Evolution, and you can get that by visiting www.therealestateevolution.com, and I'll even give it to you for free as long as you pay for the postage.
Let me ask you, Rob, do you have a normal, like a routine that when you wake up, you do a certain activity, or what's your mornings look like? I'm just curious.
So it's one of my coaching programs is called Efficiency of Time. For better words, time management, because most people have time management problems. So I put a spin on it, Efficiency of Time. And then I have one of the programs that I do and I share, it's called Own the Morning. And I literally have a broken down. So I'm one of the early risers. So I get up at 4:35 in the morning. And you pretty much will know, it's written out, because people say, like, what does your morning schedule look like? What is your routine? And I share it with my coaching clients, and I can share it with whoever wants it. But I literally go and I say, from 4:35 till 9:15 in the morning, my day, like my time is broken down in 15-minute increments, because to me, I work off a routine. I like a routine. I like to know where I'm at, and I like everybody else around me to know where I'm at, because from 9:15, I start my prospecting and it goes to about 11, but I do have some coaching programs or podcasts or something that I'm diffing. So I don't miss it. I just reschedule it. But I'm pretty sure if I looked at your schedule, Dan, from a certain time period till 6 o'clock, it can go sideways and I can't control what goes on my plate. Like, I can control if I answer it or not, but there's certain things that happen. But from when I wake up till 9:15, I can control everything. And that's what I try to focus on. So to break it down, I mean, it's literally motivation, mindset, going to the gym, working on my journal. I read 10 pages every day. I started doing 10 pages every day. I read, I think it might have been Jim Rohn, but I'm at 74 books now by reading 10 pages every day for the last 2 years. And people are like, man, what's, you're smarter. I'm like, I'm not any different. I'm just reading and I'm disciplining myself to read.
10 minutes at 10 pages a day does not. Listen, I'm binge watching right now Yellowstone. All right. But here's the thing.
I love the show.
I love it too, right? But guess what? I'm also reading those 10 pages a day as well, right? Yep. So it's like, okay, nobody's perfect, but we all have time to read 10 pages a day, don't we? I mean, come on. And you can still watch 1883 if you want. I don't care. Whatever.
And the new one that's coming out, what is it, 1923?
1923, man. Come on.
Yeah. Four more days.
Oh, is that out. All right.
On the 18th, it comes out. But I love the show. It's the only show I really watch besides football.
You and
but
I are just alike, man. You
yeah.
Just, what's your team? What's your football team?
I can proudly say them this year, the New York Jets.
Okay. Right.
So what are you, the Redskins?
The Washington Commanders. Yes, sir.
Oh, that's right. Yes, the Commanders. I forgot about their new name. Yes. They've been doing good, too. You guys are in the playoffs.
We'll see.
We'll see what happens.
What advice, Brock, would you give yourself today if you were starting day one, you just got your real estate license? And you were giving that guy advice, what would you say?
I would get myself around more high-level people sooner than I did today. I didn't do that because my ego got in my way. And I thought I knew everything. I thought my ways was the right way. And I would remove my blinders. I would talk to more high-level people and ask them who I should be talking to. Because successful people always have somebody else that they've relied on or somebody else that helped them. And think about us. We just started talking, right? We don't know each other from, I mean, it's not like we've known each other for months or
years.
But
we know each other.
But it's like, I think it's such a small world. Like, here's this relationship with you and I.
Yeah.
By talking to higher level people, that being like, hey, this is somebody that I know that I think you should talk to, or this is something that I read that you should read or look at. And it's just like, that to me grows you much faster than anything else. And I would just be more open than I was. I was just a very closed-minded person.
What's the biggest failure that you've learned from or a learning opportunity that you've learned from?
Taking too long to make decisions. Mm. My coach told me that you need to make a decision within 36 hours. And if you let it go, it typically will go. And so I was reserved. I let money dictate my decisions. And I'm still here today. I was more broke than majority of people. That's part of my financials and foundations class that I teach. Is I was $550,000 in debt 3.5 years ago. Wow. IRS, $153,000. But I let that control me. And so my failure was I took too long to make decisions. I waited too long to be able to do things. And it cost me time, cost me money, cost me opportunities. And so now, if I fail at it, I fail at it. I don't really care. I mean, there's no failure police saying, hey, he's failed 3 times this week. Let's book him.
Fail faster and move on.
Yep.
Fail fast
and fail forward.
How can somebody get in touch with you? How can they learn more about what you, about how you help people?
So we've got a couple different websites. You can go to bz3enterprises.com, and that's all spelled out, bz3enterprises. BZ are my kids. When people ask me, how does the name Brock, Bryce, and Brielle, we all have the same initials, and there's three of us. So BZ3 is how I came up with my my company's name. And my coach tells me all the time, you have to have a story for everything. And so I was like, okay, this worked out well. And so, and BZ3 Enterprises, all my coaching programs are there. I also do a Mindset Morning Show each morning at 8:15. So if you go to Brock Zevian's Mindset Morning Show, you'll see me on Facebook. It's a private page, but we do motivation every day, Monday through Friday, 8:15 to 8:45. And then I do a special one on Fridays, which, Dan, I'd love to have you on. It's called Figure It Out Fridays. And I'm sure there's been some things in your life that you had to figure it out. You are alive today. And by your laugh, it, just like most people, you're like, oh, gosh, Brock, do we even have time for 30 minutes? Like, I can tell you like 3 days. But that's how successful people are. They figured it out. They found a way to be able to do that. Those would be the websites that you can go to and take a look at all my contact information's out there.
Awesome, Brock. Thank you very much for taking the time to spend with us today with the CPI community. And Brock, I hope to be able to be a resource for you and for everyone that's listening and watching right now. I want to invite for you to help somebody today, to be grateful, to make good choices, to choose to have the best day of your life, and go find a listing. God bless everybody. See you soon.
Hate the feeling of missing out and not knowing where to start? Aside from grabbing a copy of The Real Estate Evolution, the 10-step guide to CPI, we also encourage you to join our ever-growing group, the Consistent and Predictable Income Community. Apply for membership on Facebook and visit us at nobrokemonths.com online to listen to our previous superstar interviews.
I'm a seasoned agent, but I've certainly had some months with no business and some cash flow issues. Dan's opened my eyes to a lot of things and taught me things that I just haven't been able to get anywhere else. So learning his methodologies has been really helpful to me in my life and, very importantly, in my business.